with somebody. Yeah, I wanna dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me. Ooh, ooh.
Alexa, play Whitney Houston.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I don't need to play football.
I'm coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Okay, the next line that you did not hear there was "Dead" from Dennis Young and Styx. And is this possibly where the Pittsburgh Steelers 2018 season is best described as dead? Gosh, you know, my friends, I've got to feel that way. Or maybe not, maybe not. But a rough one tonight. A rough one, a 31-28 loss to the New Orleans Saints in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. It was a game that the Steelers had won. They battled the New Orleans Saints well. They battled the refs as well as they possibly could. But in the end, they fell victim to both. Hello, my friends. Once again, my name is Brian Anthony Davis, and this is the Steelers Hangover. It's a special game day edition once again because tomorrow is Christmas Eve. It's a beautiful season, and you know what? I'm just going to say Merry Christmas to all my friends out there and everybody in Steeler Nation, happy holidays. And let's not have this disastrous loss, which could be coupled with a Baltimore Ravens improbable, of what I thought, win over the Los Angeles Chargers last night. This could be curtain for the whole season. So let's not let that get us down. It is the holiday season. Let's feel good for that. And count our blessings in many other ways. Tony DeFeo, I know you're out on the ledge, my friend, and we're going to have to talk ourselves down off of it. But Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you too, Brian, and your family and your friends. It was a very devastating loss, but it was kind of indicative of the way they've been losing games the last 5 weeks. I mean, it's like you said it. In the beginning, they battled the refs, they battled themselves, and they lost both times. So, yeah, it seems like the end, but, you know, there's still a chance. So we'll see what happens next week.
Well, I'm going to ask you this straight out. Is hope out the window? Do we really have a fighting chance? Do we have an opportunity to go to the playoffs as Steelers fans? What are you thinking? Are the Steelers finished? Or is there a fantastic finisher on the way, Tony?
Well, I mean, I think hope is hanging by a thread on the windowsill, and someone needs to come and pull it back in. But it's not good right now. I'll tell you that. They're still alive, but yeah, it's definitely tenuous.
What is your overall knee jerk reaction from this game, a game that was thought to be won? Where did it turn for you? What do you blame? And what are you thinking right now?
Well, to me, it felt like a game, you know, like Denver, like Oakland, like L.A., the Charger game. It felt like they were the better team throughout the majority of the game. They just could not come up with the the right plays at the end to win it. And you know, and I have to agree, you know, unlike the Charger game, I think the officials, especially on the first Joe Hayden call, that was atrocious. So I blame, because I think you're up by 4 points there. You know, you're at midfield. I think you punt the ball away. The defense is playing good in the second half. They gave it one touchdown. I think you punt the ball away at that point. I think that's what I blame. You give the Saints the ball back at midfield, little time left. No, you make them drive the length of the field. So that's what I'm blaming tonight.
You know what? I don't even know if you necessarily have to punt the ball away there. I think in that situation, I'm fine putting the ball in the hands of Ben Roethlisberger, 4th and 5, and those 5 wides as well. I mean, they just missed it by a foot or so. I mean, it, you know, if he makes it, he's brilliant. You know, Fichtner, Tomlin, everybody's brilliant. Now they're going to be called, but hey, they went for the win. My thing there too, Tony, is you know, I think they were playing the time game, and that was actually one of the first time management strategic decisions that I think they were trying to play, because I don't think they wanted to get in the situation where they were against San Diego, giving them the ball back with 4 minutes left, and just them completely draining the clock with the timeout situation that they had. So, I mean, strategically, I could see what they were doing there, and if New Orleans does score, in which they did, there should be time left on the clock, which there was, and you know, we have seen 1:30 before with Ben Roethlisberger, and it should be no problem. And the problem we ran into was Juju Smith-Schuster got tattooed, and he usually doesn't fumble the ball, but it reminded me of the Super Bowl with Rashard Mendenhall and A.J. Hawk and Matthews. Just I believe it were those guys, where they just completely just attacked him from both sides, and there was no way that he was even going to recover that ball because he was twisted. So, I mean, I'm just feeling that, you know, fate is just not in the 2018 Steelers' hands. I mean, it's just not in the arena at this point. And so I just don't know what's going on with this team, but they are not a team of destiny so far this year. And with them on the outside looking in, it just doesn't feel like it. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about the grades, and we usually do that next. But we're going to go – I need some help here. I need to go to our counselor, and we're going to go talk to Vito right now. Let's go to New Jersey. Vito, first and foremost, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas, Vito.
I'm thinking about something that you said in the beginning of the year. You said this was a special team. Remember that? You did say that, right?
Yes, I did.
That?
I did.
Okay. Now, I thought
you know, I want you to hold me to that. And I'm glad and I'm proud to have said it. It's just I'm at the point where I'm wondering if I'm wrong.
Well, here's
so
the problem. Here's the problem I see. If Ben Roethlisberger steps away from this game, this organization is in huge trouble. Because the guy gives you a chance to win every week. He gave you a chance last week. He gave you a chance then in the end. I mean, he did nothing wrong in that final drive. He made the throws. He made the plays. I mean, he was focused today, laser focused. He wanted to win this game badly. He didn't want to see the season end the way it did. And I think the biggest problem we have with this organization, for the last several years, they fail to get key players in key situations to make the big plays. Why is it the Saints can come up with the big play when they need to? Why can't we? Why is it Baltimore is able to go into Los Angeles and the defense shuts them down? Why can't we? So the organization is to take a step back and say, you know what? Why can't we build a top two, top three defense? What are we doing wrong? There's pieces we need to address next year. We have almost $14.5 million in cap space. You know, we got to get back to our ways of being that tough defense that is able to keep us in games. Because if you notice, I don't blame the defense for the last drive. Because, you know, the Saints had the ball at midfield already. I blame Tomlin on that one and the special teams coach for taking that play. I think you punt the ball away and say, you know what? The defense has been doing a great job all day. The Saints hadn't scored any points in the second half. Correct me if I'm wrong. Why not take that ball, punt it away, Let's see what happens. Most likely Pittsburgh would have still got the ball back within 2 minutes regardless. Let's say they only get it back with a minute. And to lose the game the way it did with Schuster, I mean, the guy was in tears on the sideline. It felt terrible for him because, you know, he stepped up big today. You know, played with a groin injury. I'm sure he wasn't 100%, but made some huge plays. And look at Antonio Brown, the game he had to keep us in that game. And you know, it just stinks year after year to be so close and constantly waste the opportunities away. The problem, though, and this is what I want to say, is how do we regress as a team from being 13-3 last year to being 8-6-1 this year? What did we do to take a step backwards and lose the games that we won last year? Last year, we were winning games just barely. This year, we're losing by field goals. And I think the key game when you guys go back in that three-game stretch, that Chargers game is a game we should have had with the 16-point lead. I understand the two games on the road. You know, everybody could say anything they want. We should have beat the Broncos with all the yardage on that game, and we had major opportunities to win, and we failed to score points. But the Chargers game is the game that I want, because if you won that game, with this loss tonight, we're still not out of it. All we need to do is win next week and we're in. So if you look at those three games, one of those three games, if it's a win, we're in. And that Chargers game could have definitely been that one. Oakland, you know, we can't say enough about that game because, you know, it's just a tough environment. Yeah, it's a bad team, but they're fighting to make a statement as well. So when you look at this season, I'm going to take the leap of faith and say Pittsburgh's going to most likely win the game next week. But I think Baltimore is going to be in there, and they're going to find a way to win that game. Because remember, Baltimore got knocked out of the playoffs last year while they were playing the Bengals. I think if it was the Bengals playing the Ravens, we'd have a shot. I think against the Browns, I think there's a really slim chance. And for us to get to this point of the season and say we need help, shouldn't be that way. Not with all the talent we have on offense, not all the talent we have on defense. So major changes have to happen in this organization in the offseason. They have to. You just can't keep going year after year and falling short like this. It's terrible. And the biggest problem, and it's not negativity, Ben decides to hang up and step down. Organization's in big trouble because you know what? I have no faith in those backup quarterbacks coming in and winning more than 4 or 5 games. That's my problem. And the window to me has been closing. And damn it, we're so damn close last year and this year. And just we're just a few pieces away from being a championship team. That's my feeling. But you guys can't be upset because look, this team's done tremendously. Tremendously since the 90s and the 2000s. I mean, how many fan bases would love to be in our position where, you know what, we're competitive every year. It comes down to the final week. How many teams even have a chance the final week? At least we're still hanging by a thread. Think of all the teams that aren't hanging by a thread. Their seasons have been over for weeks already. So we're very fortunate that way. Anyway, let's not dwell on it. Have a Merry Christmas and hopefully better days are coming. I believe they will.
You know, and I'm glad you said that, and I have a lot of responses to what you said, and the first thing that I'm thinking of is if you have a spoiled child, and whose fault is it, any child, whose fault is it that a child is spoiled? And it's because they're getting what they want. As a fan base, Steeler Nation, we have been so blessed to be spoiled. Because, yeah, we're spoiled because we have seen it year after year after year. Detroit, they would love to be in this position. Cleveland, I can name probably about 10 to 12 more organizations that year after year would love to have a season like this. I mean, they have not had a losing season since 2003. That's 15 years. You know, they've had a couple 8-8s, but no losing seasons. And for me, that means that we're lucky, and we're lucky to have this organization. But the problem is, we look at this team. We look at Antonio Brown. We look at Ben Roethlisberger. Antonio Brown, for me, is a surefire Hall of Famer. If he's not, I would be absolutely shocked. And the reason being is because we've seen what he has done. He was almost perfect today. I did not see his number of targets, but I don't think he dropped the ball. I don't think Ben overthrew him once. I thought he was absolutely perfect. And for a team that was double covering him all day long, he still exposed them. 14 receptions, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster was hurt, had a groin injury. He still had 11 receptions and 115 yards. You have Jalen Samuels, who I thought played pretty well. 12 carries, 53 yards. And, I mean, he had 3 receptions for 11 yards. Now, I mean, that's not a great line, but that's 4.4 yards per carry and only 12 carries. And that's just where, I mean, Ben's thrown the ball 50 times, and that's what he really needed to do because this was going to turn into a shootout. So as far as the defense, I think the defense played admirably, but they bent at times. I think there was a lot of aiding by the referees. I saw a tweet early on this week when the referee crew was assigned, and this referee crew is notorious for favoring home teams. And it just felt like it once again in this game. But we said this a couple weeks ago, good teams know how to beat the referees. I'm not going to dwell, Vito, Tony, I'm not going to dwell on the call to go ahead and try to put the game away with a fake punt. We could look at that, but there's so many other places they lost it and where they lost
about
it
the Ridley
as
play.
A team.
Look at the Ridley play.
We're Ridley?
Ridley play, 3rd and 2.
Ridley?
Why do we have him as a backup? Why don't we had a guy like, what's the other guy that just got picked up by the Rams? CJ, is it Anderson, the guy that was cut by the Broncos?
Yeah, and he.
We have $14 million on the sideline. Why are we going to pick up a guy like that when Connor gets hurt? Go bring him in. He's still young. He's versatile. He can run. He can make plays. Why? I don't get it.
I was calling for that a few weeks back. And get
I don't get that.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah,
Los
why don't we do
Rams
that?
Just picked him up a couple days ago.
Put a guy like Ridley in and they're scared. And look what happens. He comes in. He gets one carry. The next carry, it costs us a drive that, even if we don't get the first down, they were in field goal position. You know what? If you miss the field goal, you're okay with it. You blame it on Boswell, but at least give yourself a chance because now you're up 7 at the end. And with that Juju fumble, it's a tie game, and the defense just has to step in and make this game go into overtime. Or think about this. Maybe you don't go for it on 4th and 5 because you're up 7. So it changes the whole dynamics.
Major, so there's a lot of things. That Ridley play, that was I thought a lot of the play calling was suspect. I thought on 3rd and 15, was it 3rd and 15 or 3rd and 20, going to Antonio Brown with that short pass and letting him try to run for it. I hate that play. If anyone's going to do it, it's AB. But I just don't love that play. So if I'm going to fault anybody when I do grades, it's not really, it'll be Stephen Ridley, yes, but nobody else. But the coaching staff, it'll be Feetner, it'll be Tomlin, and it'll definitely be Butler. So if you want the changes, you're not going to see the head coach change it all in the offseason. It's not going to happen. But if they want to do anything to appease the fan base, it's Keith Butler. Get rid of Keith Butler. And I'm telling you this, if they go ahead, if the Cleveland Browns, for some reason, do not keep Greg Williams, he's the first person I call. I get a grizzled old defensive coordinator that knows how to do stuff. And that's the first guy I would call. I would call him the minute he got released, if he does get released. But who knows what's going to happen there. He's had a hell of a run as an interim head coach. But, Tony, where are we at here? What do you think?
Well, as far as you're saying about, you know, plays you can point to, a Ridley fumble, I mean, 3rd and 20 after, you know, 4th and 2, you get a PI called on you late in the game, and that sucked, you know, and that probably was questionable. It was probably tipped by two or whoever tipped the ball there. But then later on, you have 3rd and 20, and I forget who caught it, but he was wide open, just like 2 weeks ago in the Oakland game, 4th down, the tight end was wide open at the goal line. So, I mean, maybe it's time for Keith Butler because how many weeks in a row now you can't close the game out? 4 out of the last 5 weeks. You know, I mean, hopefully Greg Williams is the Browns coach next year because that means they win next week for him. But if he is fired or released, then, yeah, I definitely – because we talked about this many times. The defense is at its best when it's aggressive. And, you know, I don't know how aggressive you're being as a secondary when you're playing so far off on 3rd and 20 and allowing a guy to catch a pass in the middle of the field with nobody around him. And there was literally nobody around him when he caught that ball. So you know, you can point to the refs, and I think they're culpable in this and what happened today. But, you know, this has been indicative of what's going on with them this year, but especially the last 5 weeks. Make a play when you have to make a play. And other than last week against New England, the defense and the offense hasn't been able to come up with that clutch play. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's very frustrating. And you know, it's we can just hope for the best next week.
Let's look at this line, Ben Roethlisberger. And I agree with what Vito said about Ben Roethlisberger. He is the franchise and hoping to keep him. I'm pretty sure he's back next year. I'm not even worried about that whatsoever. But 33 for 50, 380 yards, three touchdowns. That's a pretty good line. And I really did not see much where I was yelling at him at all. I thought he had a pretty good game against a defense that was swarming at times. I didn't have a problem with that. So if I'm going to put anybody in detention, it's just coaches and Stephen Ridley. I'm not putting Juju on for that performance, but I feel like he got twisted on the ball, and that's not he. I don't think that he's really liable for that at this point. I thought he was amazing in this game as well. You know, we just have to. We just have to chalk it up to the fact that, A, maybe this team's not as special as I thought they were at the beginning, or B, they're the crazy Steelers, and fate's going to hand them a second chance next week. So that's what we're looking at.
If they do make the playoffs, how do you feel about them going in there? I mean, because there was an article written, was it last week, where it said people used to fear facing the Steelers D, and they don't really do that anymore. So the question is, we need to solve those pieces in the offseason on defense. We need another playmaker or two. I mean, so the problem is people should fear wanting to face this team. There was a time where people feared facing this defense. They were scared because they knew they were going to get hit. They were going to get punched in the mouth. They don't fear that. And then I'm looking at the game last night and I'm saying, why is Baltimore able to do what they're able to do on defense? What are they doing differently than us? Is it coaching? Is it playmakers? What are we doing wrong that we don't have the playmakers like they have? We need to get back to saying, you know what? We need to be just as good as them on defense. Whatever they're doing, we need to do that, because we used to always be a top two, a top three defense, and that's changed over the years. So if it's a personnel issue, well, then guess what? Go out and get personnel. If it's a talent issue, go out and get talent. I mean, the Rooney's going to have to spend money. I know they've always been cheap in doing things, but you know what? If you want to win, you're a couple of pieces away from that. And as far as the refs, I truly believe that a lot of these games are fixed by the refs. I really do. I think this league has changed a lot over the years. But at the end of the day, this is the league you're dealing with, and as a fan, you got to deal with it. So if we need a few pieces to make a difference, then they got to go out and get it.
To your point earlier about how it was a 13-3 team, go and become an 8.
Well, that's a big deal. And I think people that are in charge of this team need to look at that and say, how did we go from 13-3 to 8-6-1? That's like saying you made $80,000 last year and your income's down to 45. Well, what did you do wrong? How did your income drop that much? Well, a couple of things happened. Either A, you got demoted because you're doing a terrible job up front, or B, you're just in a career that's not allowing you to get ahead anymore and you need to make a change. So there's definitely something there that's missing, because think about it. That's five games of more wins last year. Were we a better team last year than this year? I mean, I don't know. I'm scratching my head saying, how do we go backwards?
You know what? I'm going to defer to Tony here, because he and I have hosted this show for 2 years now. And the reason I'm going to defer to him, he is going to say exactly what I'm going to say. And I can guarantee you that I know what he's going to say next about last season versus this season. Tony, take it.
Well, it's like Bill Cowher used to say, it's a fine line. I mean, last year they made the plays at the end of the game to win. You know, how many clutch plays did Antonio Brown, how many clutch catches did he have along the sideline at the end of the game? You know, obviously Chris Boswell, you know, he was a machine for the first 2.5 years of his career, and this year he's been anything but. So that's
right.
Why.
Right.
I mean, it's just a few plays could have, either way, you know, you had James Conner's fumble in week one, and then Boswell's miss in overtime, Xavier Grimble a month ago at the goal line, stuff like that. Joe Hayden having interception in the end zone, getting clocked by Sean Davis, and then it turns into a touchdown, directly into a touchdown. You saw what happened today, stuff that happened today. Oakland, Big Ben going out with a rib injury, just going to look like they were about to take control.
If we summed it up with one word, though, the difference between last year and this year, could you just give me one word and nothing else? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? I'll let both of you do it. Go ahead, Tony first.
Clutch this year, not so much.
Okay, Vito, go ahead. One word.
I agree with him. And you know what? These guys are getting paid big money. They need to perform, because if they can't, then it's time to move on and pay someone else that's going to perform. It's just like what I said. If you made 80 grand last year,
you're
at 45, there's a reason why.
You guys might beat me up for this, but I was actually looking for it's like the old show Match Game. We need Nipsey Russell on the show, because I was thinking of one word, and I was thinking of luck. You might beat me up for luck, but I think
you're right,
they had luck on their side.
That. Ben said that. The interview, he said this is a game of luck.
Yeah.
The bounces didn't go their way in a lot of these games. You're right.
So Charles Nelson Riley would probably agree with me, too. So that's the point.
Game of interest,
and Brent
right?
Summers. Exactly. Well, you know what? We've got to hope. We've got to look and just see what they can do next week. Great teams come through in the clutch. You want that clutch, Tony? You want that clutch, Vito? Let's see if we can get them in the clutch.
I think they're going to win next week, but the problem is they got to rely on someone else to lose. That's the problem. I don't see them losing.
But you know what?
Bengals are a beat-up team.
We've seen those weird things happen, though. We really have. We've seen that the Steelers have to have three teams lose, and it happens. And they've gotten in that way. We've seen them sneak into the playoffs based on three teams losing. And then in 2013, they would have made it. And this guy, I keep forgetting this name. This guy's name,
Brian Suckup. Yeah.
He missed the kick. Yeah, for the Kansas City Chiefs against San Diego at the time. But sometimes the planets align, and I'm just hoping if we could get Neil deGrasse Tyson to get the planets to align for us, maybe, just maybe. So I'm gonna
Team Baker.
I'm gonna not throw in the what's that?
Team Baker next week.
There you go. You know what?
Well, but they're paying
I tell you what.
At home.
If somebody wants to get me a Browns jersey, I will wear a Browns jersey next week. I would be glad to. If you want to mail me a Browns jersey, I will wear it during the game. I would be glad to. I would be all over that, and I would have no shame in wearing that jersey next week. Vito, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Thank you so much. You know how much we cherish
you
coming in. And best with your family, and we will talk to you next week.
You guys as well. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. And once again, a programming note, we'll probably have to do 9:30 again next week so we don't run it in New Year's Eve, because I'm sure Tony's going to trip the light fantastic and probably has an amazing New Year's Eve lined up, so we don't want to get in the way of that. I mean, I'm sure it's just I'm sure it's roll out the red carpet. It's like it's fireworks and just babes everywhere and just amazing. So we can't mess with that.
Well, my notoriety from being on Behind the Steel Curtain, I can't help it. I can't even leave the house half the time. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know. So the the Tony New Year's party is such a hot ticket. We can't have the show next week on New Year's Eve, so we're going to go ahead and do it. Sunday night. I'm just I'm picturing you, Tony, in a Hugh Hefner robe and just like welcoming people in. And
that's actually a good idea.
Hey, at least we can laugh after such a stinker, such a disappointment. At least we're laughing. So let's join somebody else to laugh with us. Let's see if Nick from Marietta can make us feel better. Nick, happy holidays, my friend. I want to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, but no, I'm not. I can't make any Steeler Nation fan out there happy. There's just nothing to be happy about right now. I mean, I am going to get real though. I'm gonna parlay. I do not have my dad around like Ken last week. But I am going to tell you something, a little bit about myself, just for 30 seconds here, guys, indulge me. My dad...
You know, you take your time. I want to hear it.
Yeah. No, my dad, you know, when I was 6 years old, my parents were separated, so he'd have us for the weekend. So and he was a devout Browns fan. And he put me when the black and white TV's on, and he's, oh, those Browns, look at those. Look what they're doing. This is in the day of the Steelers' heyday with the steel curtain. And he'd be like, don't you love those guys? And I'd be like, no, I like the ones with the dark jerseys. No, you don't like them. You don't like them. No, you want to root for the Browns. And I always stuck with it. And then all of a sudden I got a couple things at recess. I'd get those Browns helmets and I'd give them to him. And I'd get the Steelers ones. You know, the ones you'd get from the little quarter machines at the grocery store? And he'd be like, no, you should have the Browns fans. What? Be a Browns fan. I'm like, no, Dad, I like this team. I didn't even know what the heck really football was. But I am going to – my dad passed away in 2015, and I got still some of his stuff up in my spare room. And it's hard to look at, hard to go through at times, you know, and it's emotional, especially during football season. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to pull that Browns hoodie of his and his Jim Brown jersey, and I am going to wear it a couple times this week for him. And I'm going to hope to God that up there he's going to give some magic dust over that Browns team with Baker Mayfield. And I'm going to pray that they pull out a W next week. That's about as good a hope as I think there is. But it is depressing tonight, guys. I'm at a loss for words. It was an exciting game. But I know it's beating a dead horse. And I know everybody, you know, who's going to listen to this, the Steeler Nation, is going to sit there and say, oh, you're repeating the same stuff. But this is beyond a tipping point for the officials controlling games. And I'm so tired of all the times you people saying, and Tomlin, I know he's taking high road. Oh, we determine and we, you know, that doesn't make the whole game. But football is finite. The field's finite. The time is finite. It doesn't allow you, that game there today, the first 7 points was the gift, just like San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, you can argue and say, yeah, you got 50 more minutes. That's true. You do have 50 more minutes. But let's look at the last couple minutes. It's finite. There is the time, the window to take and absorb such a blow is very limited. And you're asking for it impossible. And you're asking for the fan to just swallow that. It can't go on any longer. This whole NFL officiating has got to be looked from top to bottom. And you've got to borrow from other leagues. Like I heard from Canadian football, they're allowed to look at the pass interference calls and review them. You got to do it. You have to. Now I've read, I guess, Tuitt's online on Twitter saying he touched the ball. I saw it. He did touch the ball. The last pass interference was just as egregious as practically the first one. These things did decide the game. And I know Juju shouldn't have fumbled, but this can't be. This can't be allowed to just this multi-billion-dollar industry be allowed to put on such crap. I mean, and they do, like I said, affect the game. And anybody who says it doesn't is just, you know, they're just, I guess, apologists. I don't know what else to say. Or they just don't love the game. There's no other explanation. Not much insights, guys, tonight, except that I can say the biggest, everybody's going to stare at it, but the worst call, I mean, Fitchner did a great game, I thought, for the offense. But that 3rd-and-2, there's just no explanation, and there's no justification for putting Ridley carrying it. I didn't even think he'd get it. I don't even care if Connor was there. I didn't think anybody was going to get 3rd-and-2 on them right at the field goal range. I mean, yeah. And the way you had their number with the passing game, there's just no reason why not to split them 5 and just dump it off to somebody quick pass. I don't know. I'm almost in tears, guys. But I had to call at least the band of brothers
one.
There.
It's definitely a tough one.
Yeah,
the worst feeling of the season.
It is. It is. But listen,
and
I'm going to check out early. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say our job, too, is to try to remain positive when we don't want to. And we just don't feel
know.
Deep down in our heart to go ahead and do that. But, the pain that you're displaying is we feel that. We understand that. This is just we take 3.5 hours every week. And so much more throughout the week, listening to press conferences, reading BTSC, reading Steelers.com, doing whatever we can to get this information, Twitter, what have you. And we invest emotions, just like we invest emotions in relationships with our team. So it is going to hurt. And you just question why they do some of the things they do, and when it's just obvious. My biggest problem with this team over the past couple years, Nick, was the fact that they try to surprise teams by doing something they don't normally do and surprise them with it instead of just saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do to you, this is what we do, and I dare you to stop it. And that's what they could have done with that 5-wide. You got a Switzer on that? Bingo. So even Washington, even, you go to some of those guys, you're golden. And that's just, it just amazes me that they try to outsmart when you don't have to try to outsmart in this game all the time. We just got to hope they get lucky. Your story about your dad, thank you so much for sharing that. That was beautiful.
Awesome.
Let's get some magic next week. I'm sure there's magic in that Jim Brown jersey and that Browns hoodie, and wear it with pride. And
you got it, guys.
That's what I'm going to say.
Merry Christmas.
Enjoy it.
Merry
Christmas, Merry
Christmas
both of
my
you.
Friend.
Right,
we're blessed to have you on the show every time you call in, so thank you.
Take care.
Okay, Tony, I got to tell you, that was – a wonderful call. And the reason that was a wonderful call is you know what? We feel that emotion. And this is and we have every right to feel that way. And and I agree. I just don't know what's going to change. I can tell you what's going to change. Just like clockwork, this is Fietner's first year as offensive coordinator. I thought for the most part pretty good, but there's some of these crazy plays in clutch situations where you just don't have to surprise anybody. The scapegoat for this entire 2018 season has got to be Keith Butler. I don't think anybody's going to settle for anything less than Keith Butler going at the end of the season. It's not going to happen this second. But the bottom line is I might even go buy Browns, something Browns, and put it on. That's Tony, I would do it with no shame whatsoever. Now you'll never see me put a Baltimore Raven hat on or a jersey on. Well, I put them on when I've lost bets. The worst was when I sported a Washington Capitals jersey at a Cub Scout meeting because I lost a bet to a fifth grader. So I did that with pride because, you honor your bets. But
exactly.
So I'm not going to say never. If you make a bet, I expect people to support the Steelers stuff when they lose the bets to me. And that's going to happen too. But I would wear Browns next week with absolute pride. What time is that Browns game? You have to know. Is that a
They announced it on Twitter. Both games have been moved to 4:25, so it'll be
both
simultaneous.
Both have been moved. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that? Why is it – oh, gosh, I hate that. Well, I guess, you know what? Maybe they're doing that because they expect Baltimore to win, and maybe they don't want – maybe they want them to be head-to-head, so,
they want to suspense.
So you have something to play for. And not just have something to play for, fans to watch.
Exactly, yeah.
How many
the
fans,
ratings.
I mean, fans do drop out if you're not a playoff team, if you have nothing to play for. So I guess that makes plenty of sense there. Well, looking ahead, I do want to announce this. Our good friend Nick had a work. Excuse me, not Nick. Our good friend Ken from Jersey had a work today, so he is somewhere in the fourth quarter. So he is not going to be calling in tonight. But so he has no idea. He's living it right now, and we definitely don't want to spoil it for him whatsoever. But so we'll probably hear from him next week, and hopefully we're talking about something good. Hey, this I got to believe in stuff, and I actually believe that a Browns team could go ahead – the Browns team of this year can go ahead and win that game. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look ahead to next week and say, look, I have no doubt the Steelers win that game against Cincinnati. The bigger decision, the bigger outcome is going to be in Cincinnati and Baltimore. So I know for me, where I live in the state of Maryland, so I will have to watch the Steelers on DirecTV. So go ahead and I'm going to have two TVs set up probably next week. Either that or I'm gonna have to have one of them on my iPad. So we'll see what happens. But I got to watch both. I can't wait for James Brown to jump in and tell me what I need. I'm going to watch that whole thing. So and we've done it before, and I've seen it happen before. I've seen and I'd much rather have Cleveland at this point play Baltimore than Cincinnati, because I don't believe in them at all. I think that's a broken team. You know, despite what happened last week with that big win, but they played a bad team last week. But let's go ahead and do something we do need to do before we say goodnight. Let's do grades real quick. And this is going to be tough because, you know, it's easy to say, okay, they lost, they failed. But the performance on that field, and I said earlier, I thought the offense was pretty darn good. I thought the worst part of the offense was the suspect play calls here and there. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know, where do you grade the offense here? I want to go ahead and give the offense a B. Because I like what they were doing. Let's drop it down to a B minus for the fumbles. I mean, and I don't even think Juju's fumble was that bad. It killed them. But he just got sandwiched and twisted. So what are you thinking there, Tony?
Yeah, I agree. Like a B minus, because you know they moved the ball all game, and the only problem I have with the offense, you know, is like you said, the play calling was kind of unimaginative, and they couldn't get that one play at the end of the game, that one drive at the end of the game that could sort of put a lid on things. So yeah. B minus, you know, I think they moved the ball really well against a really good Saints defense that's been playing lights out lately. I mean, the Saints defense has been really good the last month or so. So, yeah, I definitely say a B minus. You know, had they been able to finish things off with another touchdown or a field goal, B plus for sure. But, yeah, B minus.
How about the defense?
Defense, I'm going to give it a C+. I thought the defense could have warranted a B tonight had they won this game. But, I mean, come on, you know, end of the game, 3rd and 20, you know, you got to make a play, and they didn't do it. So I'm going to give it a C+.
Yeah, you know what, I'm in that C range as well. I mean, I can't excuse that 3rd and 20. I can excuse a lot of things because I thought the defense did play their hearts out, but a lot of things made me wonder why are guys so deep. I just think it's scheme, and I say it week after week, and I'm so tired of saying it, but I think it's Keith Butler. And if I'm going to put anybody in detention, I'm putting Keith Butler in detention.
I agree.
I'm putting Randy Feetner in detention. Putting Stephen Ridley in, and gosh, I'm at this point, I got to put Mike Tomlin in detention at this point, too.
Yeah.
And those are the only guys. I can't think of anybody else. Let's say kudos to Chris Boswell. I thought he had a pretty good game. He was perfect on the night. Needed to be. I don't know whether that was the fact that he was indoors or not. But he hit all three extra points, which has been his Achilles heel. And he hit a 30-yarder, which has been, that short stuff has been his Achilles. So I'll go ahead and say special teams. I'm going to go ahead and give the special teams a B. I mean, they didn't do anything amazing. They didn't do anything horrendous. I mean, if you want to count the fake punt as special teams, I don't know. I don't even know if that's Danny Smith's call. I think that's Tomlin's or Feetner's call on there too. So I mean, I really can't fault the special teams for that. But overall, I do agree with your grades. The bottom line is that you could almost even give them an incomplete because they did not complete that game. And that's the bottom line. It's been happening all year. So whether luck's not on their side, whether they don't have the heart to finish out those games, but I have a hard time saying that because when I see Juju crying on the sidelines, when I see Stephen Ridley breaking his helmet, when I just see the looks on the faces of the offense when the defense is about to score, when the defense is about to let in a score, I kind of realize that, I mean, I feel that this team has plenty of heart, and I've accused them of not having heart, so I'm not going to say that. I want to go back to something Nick said. They need to be held accountable, and the only way to do that is, I have a buddy that called me and said, guys, he wants to see officials fired. Look, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when you're looking at a penalty and you can't pick – I mean, you can go ahead and pick up the penalty after you throw the flag and say, okay, there was no infraction on that. So that is replaying it in your head or someone else saying that didn't happen. So what's the difference, Tony, if you go to a screen and say, okay, yeah, hey, we missed it? What's the point of instant replay if it's not to fix mistakes? And that, I mean – sure, it's going to take so much longer, then you know what you do? You do this. You give each team one penalty challenge a half. I'm saying?
Yeah.
Give them one or two. I mean, do it where they're not going to do it automatically, because I know the thing is it's going to take too long. But if you say, okay, you have one penalty challenge, well, why not? What does that hurt?
Yeah.
That's fixing a mistake.
I mean,
if you run out of them, you run out of them. Because you didn't
handle
them right.
Yeah.
But in the case of the Pittsburgh Steelers, we can't win challenges to save our lives.
Yeah.
I've never seen a drought like this. In fact, I mean, I had droughts in my life in my intimacy life where, like, pop singers were getting together to do a tribute album for me. I think the Steelers need that We Are the World tribute album because, I mean, that's such a drought there. So, what a terrible joke. Thanks for laughing. I appreciate it.
No, I can relate to that. So, yeah. So can your average man.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
That's a whole other show.
Season,
so we got through. I mean, if I had to go ahead and assign a valedictorian to this game, I'm looking at Ben Roethlisberger with Antonio Brown as teammates. I thought they were actually spectacular, and you know, Ben got those balls to AB, and I thought Ben looked pretty good. I thought was one of his best performances, and there was nothing where I was screaming at Ben. So, with that being said, give me a prediction next week, and I want two predictions. You don't have to give me scores, but let's start with the obvious one: Steelers and Bengals.
Well, I think the Steelers are going to take care of business against the Bengals because, you know, no Andy Dalton. I think A.J. Green, is he out for the year? I think he's out for the year. So
he's AJ's gone. Yeah, this team is in complete disarray.
So I think they're gonna take care of business.
I think they take care of business as well. What's gonna happen at M&T Bank?
Well, I think when it comes to the Browns and the Ravens, the Browns are the better quarterback. I think there's no mistake about it, or no question. Baker Mayfield is the better quarterback right now. And, you know, we saw last night with Lamar Jackson, he's like Tim Tebow. He can run, but his passes are, most of them are lame ducks. So I think the Browns are going to have incentive because they can clinch a winning season. When was the last time the Browns had a winning season? Like maybe 2007? So they're going to have incentive. And why wouldn't they want to knock off the team that they're replacing in Cleveland, the team that left Cleveland and moved to Baltimore? Why wouldn't they want to knock him out of the playoffs? So they're going to have incentive. So I'm going to say Cleveland 24, Baltimore 21.
Wow. I think that's amazing, and I hope so. Here's my last question for you. I mean, I agree with it. There's something in my gut that's saying that this whole thing isn't over. As logic says it should be over, it's something in my gut that says it's not over. So I tell you what, I have to go. I don't care if I spend the money. I'm buying something Cleveland. Or I'll just get an old T-shirt and write Browns on it. Maybe put a big six. Write Mayfield on the back. At this point, I've got to really root for this team. So I don't mind taking a few frog skins and going to the store and buying something Cleveland, and I would wear it proudly, and I'd even put it on Twitter and say, hey, I'm a Steeler fan, and as being a Steeler fan, I'm putting this on my head. So with that being said, I will be wearing other Steeler wear, so I'm going to have to combine it because I'm not going to not wear Steeler. But with that being said, can't believe I'm saying this. Go Browns! Go Browns!
Go Browns!
Go Browns!
My favorite team right
Tony,
now.
Love it. Tony, I appreciate the entire season. I get I'm one of those guys that I don't just get mushy during the holiday season, but I get mushy on a random day in October. I appreciate all you do for this show. You're a perfect sidekick. God bless you. Thanks so much. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas. Just enjoy it. And just smile a little more knowing that Christmas miracle might just come 5 days later.
You still there?
Yeah, the last thing I said, smile knowing that 5 days later that Christmas miracle might come, my friend.
Absolutely, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, and I have a feeling we're going to be talking to each other two more times this year, at least two more times. That's my prediction.
Well,
that's
what I want to do. We'll see you next Sunday evening, or hear you next Sunday evening, and for Behind the Steel Curtain, for Tony DeFeo, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. You've just been hungover. Merry Christmas, my friends. We'll see you next week.
Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. don't do anything smart.